Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all chips in the PC. It is Saturday, the 2th of September, Anno Domini 2017, and you, oh, you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, another loose kick off your shoes, don't get the blues, here comes the news, and... That's right. It's the birthday month. Here at Jazz, here at Soundbites, it is, this month is Dave's birthday, Steve's birthday, my birthday, and the show's birthday.
Soundbites is the biggie.
Tomorrow is our 28th birthday, yep. Our 28th anniversary, hurtling headlong.
Completed.
Into our 28th year.
Completed. No, we completed.
29th year.
Yeah, 29th year. We've completed, right. 28 years.
28 years on the air. You guys are old.
Thank you.
Sure.
I earned every day of it.
Okay. Okay. It says, cannot connect to this network. And yet, it seems to have connected. I don't like Windows.
Tell me how you really feel.
I do not like Windows.
Where did YouTube move their streaming section? So YouTube went through a big change this week to make it easier for vertical videos instead of teaching people not to use vertical videos.
Right.
But I can't find
You should be the last one to talk. All of your rocket things are vertical videos.
Because Facebook doesn't do horizontal video. I shoot it horizontally. I did a couple of them from the drone seminar had. And Facebook shows it vertically.
Oh, my heavens.
Right. Even though I shot it horizontally, Facebook rotates it and shows it vertically.
Well, I have less disrespect for all of my friends because vertical video is just amateurish. It just looks like it's amateurish. Anyway, the point is,
but that's the way you
horizontal
hold your,
video.
That's the way you hold your phone. Yeah, but that's not what life is.
Right, right. If you're taking a portrait, I get it. But for everything else, I guess you can't. You can't. One way or the other, you can't. All right. So it is. It's our birthday month. We've, as you can see on our page, 27 years, 11 months, 29 days. Tomorrow is 30 days. Means it's 28 years. We're very, very honored and blessed. And humble that you people have kept us on the air for these 28 years, and we hope you'll be with us for the next 28. And there's you know, hopefully you will also at some point become members of Jazz 90.1, but we won't talk about that right now. You can see how to do that on jazz901.org, and I will go and read the news. After a little more than 2 years, Microsoft has finally settled on a rhythm with its new fast-paced development cadence. What Microsoft marketers are calling the Fall Creators Update, version 1709, is in the final stages of development now and is scheduled to arrive on desktop PC starting October 17th. This will be the fourth feature update to Windows 10 in a little over 2 years. And that pace will continue with new feature updates, essentially full upgrades, due on a predictable 2x a year basis going forward. As with previous feature updates, there will be no last-minute surprises. It's been developed in the open with dozens of preview releases to members of the Windows Insider program. For those who haven't been paying close attention, I'll hear some of the highlights. The logical place to start, of course, is the Start menu. This build is the first to incorporate elements of Microsoft's new Fluent Design, which adds subtle performance and usability improvements, including easier resizing and smoother transitions. Action Center, which hosts notifications on the right side of the screen, also gets Fluent Design features, most noticeable when you have transparency turned on. and is redesigned to make it easier to deal with notifications. Cortana settings, which used to be available only from within the Cortana app, are now integrated into settings. And in a nice design change, Cortana now displays answers in a flyout from the start menu. It's actually kind of pretty. That also includes results from web searches, powered by Bing only, of course, which means you don't have to open a browser to do a search. Windows updates are also have also evolved significantly in the 2 years since when. Hey, does anybody else? How long does it take for you to do a Windows update? I'm on Greenlight, for Pete's sake. I'm at 100 megabits per second. And it takes 15 minutes for it to decide whether or not there's an update. And then another half an hour to actually do the update.
But a minute to actually download it.
No, yeah. That's what I'm saying. It takes forever. It's clearly not my end.
Yeah. So it's got to compare every single DLL you have against every single DLL at Microsoft.
I suppose. I mean, I'm running a 3 gigahertz machine here with 8 gig of RAM, for Pete's sake. All right. Anyway, Windows Update has also evolved significantly in the 2 years since Windows 10's initial release. When new updates are available, you'll see an interactive toast notification that doesn't interrupt what you're doing now. In addition, the Windows Update display now offers detailed information about the status of individual updates, so you don't have to wonder whether anything's happening in the background. The long list of improvements to the security architecture of Windows 10 starts with a momentous change. The horribly insecure SMB version 1 system message block protocol version 1 is finally being removed, but only from clean installs of Windows 10. The SMB version 1 components will continue to be included on upgrades where they're already installed. The Windows Defender Security Center, which was introduced in an earlier feature update, has two major additions. The first is Exploit Protection, which offers many of the mitigations that were previously part of the separate Enhanced Mitigation Experience Toolkit, or EMET. The Fall Creators Update also debuts an anti-ransomware feature called Controlled Folder Access, which is also available through the Windows Defender Security Center. When this feature is enabled, only approved apps can access Windows system files and data folders. You can customize the list of data folders and whitelist specific apps. Finally, there's Windows Defender Application Guard, a security feature that uses Hyper-V virtualization to create sandbox browser sessions using Microsoft Edge. For now, at least, it's available only in Windows 10 Enterprise Edition. So, to recap, some things have gotten prettier, nothing's gotten faster, and at last, after what, 40 years, Microsoft is finally starting to take security seriously. Our poll of the week at soundbites.org, that is bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you, is Windows 10 Fall Creators Update. Your choices are, can't wait, I can wait, not very interested in Windows. So far, we have 24 people who have voted. Most of you are amused at Windows. Okay, that's a little weird. Okay. All right. And, of course, we know you'll have more to say. So if you scroll down on the right under Fascinating Stuff, the first link is to the forums. The second set of forums down, the second forum down, is the poll discussion. And right now, at least, there have been 1,000 posts in the poll discussion. That's pretty good. Right now, at least, the first item under poll discussions is 2017 Windows 10 Fall Creators Update. Excuse me, I seem to have the hiccups. Too much coffee at work today. At market, rather.
That's work.
And I still have, it is
it's work you like.
That's real work, but I enjoy it very much so, yeah. That's hard work. If I fall asleep in the middle of the show, apparently I only had like 8 cups of coffee, so I'm pretty well wired. I'll be doing the Michael Flatley thing in a little while.
Decaf. Switch over.
I've been doing half and half, which means I really only had 4 or 5 real cups of coffee. Stupid. I should have gone right to straight decaf. But at any rate, you can join us there. You can also join us here. It's 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415. I guess this is the last official show of summer.
Mm-hmm.
Or yeah. The last show of official summer, I suppose.
Because this is the big weekend that folks are, you know.
Right. I expect most people are out and about.
Yeah.
We'll see a lot more people on the podcast than we will listening to the show, because this is the weekend everybody's long weekend, Labor Day, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, I saw folks.
It was chilly yesterday. Shirley said she wanted to turn the heat on, and I said no.
No? Get a sweater. You already paid
She's
for that.
She's sitting there in a sweater with a blanket on top of her on the couch, and she wants to turn the heat on.
Sandy did the same thing. She goes, when's the electric blanket going on? I go, oh, November? What?
Yeah.
When there's snow.
Yeah, when there's a lot of snow.
Yeah.
When there's snow and we're sleeping outside, that's when it goes on.
Well, she was complaining because we were cold.
Well, she's listening. You better be careful.
That's okay.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure mine's not.
She apparently loves him, so he gets away with a lot.
There was no logic to this, though. You know, we had the windows open, so it's nice and cool. And she goes, wait a minute, I'm cold. I said, well, turn off the fan.
Yeah, there's an idea.
She's got the fan blowing.
So the fan and the window open.
Yeah, and she's cold.
Yep, there you go.
Oh, I love her.
But we should mention, so SMB, the Windows Server Message Block version
Saturday
one.
Morning Blend. Oh, I'm sorry, no, go ahead.
That was responsible for the WannaCry malware.
Right.
That ravaged Europe. We only got off lucky here because Europe is ahead of us in time zones. That was
Sandy
a glare.
Sandy stuck
the
her
window.
Head in, drew her finger across her throat, and for some reason, she was looking at me. Like, this is my fault.
You encouraged
Thank you.
You're welcome. He said, because those are the only two words he could say on the air. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so SMB version 1 was replaced a long time ago with version 2, and now it's up to version 3. But that was used in the WannaCry exploit recently. So the fact that they're finally disabling it is a really good thing. If you want to disable it yourself, I posted a link on how to disable SMB1 on Windows 7, 8, and 10. Because you still got the later versions to still make everything work.
Right.
But because it's Microsoft, they hate turning things off for backward compatibility. There's a zillion computers probably still running XP Service Pack 1 that doesn't know anything newer than SMB version 1. And so you turn that off and something might go wrong.
One thing for all the complaints Apple has gotten over the years when they change something and abandon people in the background,
yep.
They're not afraid to stop running stuff that isn't secure or is too old to be really usable or any of that other stuff. So
and they get criticized for cutting off too soon.
Right.
And they're, you know, the computer models go back about 10 years for most of the computers to run the latest OS.
Right.
That's a long time in computer world.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It really is.
Yeah, maybe 7 dog years per human year. Computers are 15 to 20 years.
Right, right. Human,
yeah, so a 10-year-old computer, that's a 200-year-old computer.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I have a couple of laptops, one of which I know is from the 90s. The other one might be from the 80s. And I just booted them up this week because I was bored. I'm retired now and I'm bored. And I had put Linux on both of them. So they both upgraded to the latest version of Linux and they both ran fine.
Mm-hmm.
But if it had been Windows, I never would have put it on the internet under no set of circumstances.
You'd be able to even get it on there.
Right. So I never would have done that. And both of them ran fine, slow. They have, you know, they're Pentiums.
Well, I'm surprised you didn't put on what's the name for the Chrome lookalike.
I haven't booted them up in 5 years.
Okay.
I was just cleaning the computer room, and there they were sitting in a corner. And I thought, wow, okay.
Cool.
Cool. Let's see what I got in there. Oh, both of them had Xubuntu, so they're both running the lightweight XFCE front end, and they both ran fine. So that was lovely, but I really thought, you know, that would be an issue. All right, listen, if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll get to you in just a couple of minutes. If you're not on the line, I don't know why you're not. You can give us a call, 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. And we'll be back on the other side. Oh, and later on, Uncle Dave's Story Hour is coming, so pay attention. But we'll be right back with Dave Enright. I did that. Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer Talk you can understand. More Sound Bites is next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm David Wright.
And I'm Steve Wright.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites, and we have Andy from Greece, New York on the line. Hi, Andy. What's up?
Hi, guys. Birthday show's coming up, right?
This is the birthday show.
This is the birthday show.
The birthday show for Sound Bites, it is. Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yes, well.
Tomorrow's the birthday, but.
There we go.
Oddly, we will not be on tomorrow.
Well, I just want to say thank you for all of the time and knowledge you share.
Thank you. Thank you for listening. That's what keeps us on the air. Well, that and pledges.
I've found it to be invaluable, and it's one of the reasons I became a member of the station 2 years ago.
Thank you. That's what I like to hear.
Between this show and the newspaper article and you coming to, like, different user groups like the Googles, which, shameless plug, the 7th is our meeting. It's for September.
Yes, it is.
You guys have helped me save me a lot of money and a lot of head scratching and probably a lot of gray hairs.
Well, not enough gray hairs, clearly.
Yeah, well, I do appreciate it. And
thank you.
I think Rob deserves a pat on the back for being cagey enough to get you guys on the air on this station.
I agree with you. It is Rob was one good decision he's made in his life was to put us on the air, and we're very grateful to him for it. And you know, it was a real risk for him. This is a jazz station. They've never had a call-in show of any sort before, and certainly not a computer call-in show. But he took the risk, and so far it's paid off. And for the station, it's in the number of pledges. For us, it's the number of loyal listeners who continue to call in every week. So thanks.
Well, I think the key for him was diversification of his listener base, and I think you guys certainly diversified his listener base.
Well, thank you. We certainly are not the standard listener base. That's true.
I got two things. First is a quick follow-up on the Facebook questions I've been talking to you about the last couple weeks. And allow me an Uncle Dave moment here.
Yeah.
This thing just does not want to get fixed. I don't know what's going on with it. We sat down and gone through face-to-face through the different settings and everything else. My daughter-in-law tells me it's gotten to the point where my son doesn't see her posts and she doesn't see his posts sometimes. The only way they can guarantee it is by tagging each other. It's nuts. I see more and more ads every day. I know Mr. Zuckerberg has to pay the rent on whatever gazillion-dollar mansion he's living in these days. But
you're right.
It's getting to the point where the thing is just not doing what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. Here's the thing. One of the things that I've done is I've changed my news feed. And I'm not running Facebook on this thing. I probably should. But the basic idea is that one of the things that I tend to do is every time I see a post from someone that I really like, that I want to see their posts regularly, like, say, my wife, my daughter, I don't like them. I love them. I put the heart up.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, after a while, they start coming up higher on my list.
Mm.
There, you can also make some settings changes to who you see and who can do things to your system and what order you see things in. There's also in the upper right, there's news feed, and there's two choices on news feed. And Steve, if you'll click the dots. Yeah. Top stories. And what are the other ones?
Most recent. And then edit your preferences.
Yeah. And under edit your preferences, make sure you've got it set that you're not blocking certain people or that
prioritize who you can see first.
Right. You can set, that's the one I was looking for. You can set a priority. So I prioritized my wife and my daughter by simply clicking on their pictures. So I now see if they post. My wife posts fairly regularly. My daughter posts not often enough from my point of view. But basically, you can prioritize who you see first. So, for example, Steve could click on the picture of his wife and she would come up first, and maybe the picture of his son and he would then come up. That's sort of fair. And you can, and theoretically, you know, just I said theoretically, theoretically, those would then appear higher in your feed than anything
else. And I've done those things, and my wife still gets the posts and I don't. We sat down last night. My daughter-in-law looked through her phone, and in all the places that it said you could block people, there's no blocks anywhere on myself or my son, and the posts still don't come up. Also, I'm seeing now I get a lot of posts where I can comment, but I can't share, or I can share, but I can't
comment.
A lot
of people are having that problem. That's not, again, this is all Facebook stuff, and I don't know what to tell you about that.
Well, I'm to the point where it's like, okay, it's going to do what it darn well wants to do. I'm getting ads all over the place for stuff that I have no idea why.
Right.
And a lot of it now is you can tell it's commercially done ads and things. It's not just the marketplace. And I'm hiding stuff left and right, or I just say I don't want to see it. And now I'm getting stuff from supposedly from Dr. Phil and Dr. Oz, and they're all scams. So I've been reporting those as scams.
Right.
The whole thing is just...
There is a way to reset all of your settings. And it resets it back to Facebook defaults. Maybe that will help.
Right, and then go back through and do it all over again. Maybe you'll miss doing something you did last time, which will fix it all.
Maybe.
When was this post? I hate articles that don't say when they posted it.
Yeah, right.
Because it was, you know, if it was 10 years ago, it's not applicable to today's Facebook.
Yeah. But the reality is that there is an awful lot of stuff that Facebook does that just you either stop using Facebook or you live with it.
Yeah, that's what I'm coming to that conclusion.
You know, Zuckerberg has famously said...
That's my Uncle Dave moment for the week.
Yeah, Zuckerberg has famously said privacy is dead, and he's going about proving it.
I keep getting posts from him in my timeline.
Yep, and what we are finding is that there is nothing that prevents the Facebook app or the Facebook Messenger app on your phone from using your microphone or your camera. Or looking through your contacts, or doing any other thing it wants to do. You agreed to that when you downloaded and installed that software. So, you know, you can't even complain that they're doing something you don't want them to do because you said it was okay.
Well, yeah, the ads. I figure that's how you pay the rent. Okay, fine. I'll hide them. I'll report them if I think they're scams, and I'll just go from there and live with it. The thing that ticks me off is that I got in this because that's how I see pictures of my grandson and my granddaughters, and I'm not getting those posts. And we've looked at everything we can think of to find out why I would not be getting them, and there's nothing.
Yeah, I don't know, Andy. I can't.
It. And, you know, but that's, like I said, that's my Uncle Dave moment for the week, and I'll shut up about that. What I did call about is, and this is a Steve Ray question, surprise, surprise, my wife has an iPad, and... She does not remember. She's got an email account set up with it and doesn't remember the password that goes into it because she never puts in the password. And she does crossword puzzles and things like that. My granddaughter, who's 21 months old, likes doing the kids' games, you know, pop the balloon and make the truck move and all those kinds of things. And so we're going, well, let's see if we can find a couple more free games to put on there to give her a little variety. Well, we go in, and... Now it says it wants her password, and we've tried several different ones, and none of them work. So somebody said, well, there's a way to, and I know there's got to be a way, to go in and say, hey, I forgot my password. Send it to my email so that we can get this fixed.
Right. Is this the Apple ID password or the email password?
This is the Apple ID iCloud password.
Okay, yeah. Go to iforgot.apple.com, and you can reset it there.
Oh, so there isn't anything under like iTunes Store or App Store where you can say, hey, I forgot my password. So you got to go to
the Apple website. Yep, iforgot.apple.com.
Okay, hang on just a second.
Usually after you type it wrong three or four times, it will pop up and take you there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
iforgot.apple.
Yeah, just do that and you'll be fine.
.com.
Okie doke.
It gives you the option to email you reset instructions or to answer your security questions and get reset instructions.
All right, well, we'll have to do that then.
All right, go for
it. That was easy. Thank you very much.
Yep, have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
One of the problems we run into is people that have forgotten their security questions because you set them up so long ago.
Right. I put all of that in EnPass. EnPass remembers everything for me. I don't have to remember a thing. And just as a reminder for people with security questions, lie on the security questions.
Well, that does make it harder to remember what you lied about.
Well, but
about.
if you write it down in something like EnPass, mm-hmm. if you save it in your password manager.
Yeah.
Then, so for example, if you say, you know, where did you go to high school? Purple.
Yep.
You know, what's your favorite television show? Diet Coke. Right? They don't care what the answers are. Nobody's going to come back and say, Diet Coke was not a television show. But it also makes it a little bit harder to guess.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is still Andy, but now he's from Brockport. Hi, Andy, what's up?
How you guys doing?
Peachy, how are you?
Good. I called last week about my Dell Inspiron.
Oh, yeah, 2 years old. Can't figure out which version of Windows you had, but it turned out to be 10.
Yep. Smart guy. So anyways, I bought two different wireless adapters. I bought a Linksys, and I bought a Netgear. So I've tried both of them, and they both say they're connected to the Internet. One gets to my router and says it can't get past my router. The other one says it gets past my router and actually gets in the Internet, but neither of them are able to get to the Internet. And so I have, you know, my machine came with built-in wireless and Ethernet, and I'm wondering, A, is it completely trashed, or B, do I have to uninstall or get rid of the existing drivers and somehow disable the hardware for it to work?
You probably have to go into either BIOS or the Windows hardware devices to turn off the built-in wireless.
Well, the wireless, usually there's a
sometimes
a
there's
key
a,
sequence.
Ooh, yeah, some, or key sometimes sequence. There's a physical switch on the computer,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, normally you'll see up at the top along the keyboard, it looks like a little antenna, you know, broadcasting. And it's usually an FN key, and you hit that, and it'll turn wireless and on and off.
But not all keyboards have that, only some.
But the best thing to do?
Yeah?
RTFM.
RTFM. What's that?
Read the fine manual. And if you don't have a manual, all you got to do is Google that, and it will tell you how to, for that particular model, to turn off the wireless, because usually it is a key sequence that you can turn it off. But okay. On a lot of the laptops, especially the newer ones, when you plug in an Ethernet port, that'll usually override the wireless.
Right.
On most of them, but no guarantee.
This is a tower. It's not a laptop.
Okay.
All right. So, and the second thing is, I did plug in the right to my router and still did not work. All right. So neither my wireless nor my hardwire actually work. That's why I went out and got the USB.
Now, let me suggest, you have other devices that connect fine.
Yes, absolutely. Everything connects fine. iPhones, Chromebooks, my laptop from work, everything connects.
Okay, and this is Windows 10, yeah?
What?
This is Windows 10, yes?
Yep.
Okay, open your network and sharing center.
Okay. And I actually turned off when I do that, I can see my wireless is turned off. So I'm going into networks and internet setting. My Wi-Fi is turned off. Oh, I have two Wi-Fis. Oh, I just noticed that. Oh, look at that.
Oh, maybe you should try the other one.
Maybe. I never saw that. No, there's Wi-Fi number two. Oh, maybe that's... Oh, geez, maybe that's it.
There you go.
Well, we'll see here. If you just give me a second, I'll type in the password. And
I'm almost wondering if something's wrong with this IP stack. If the direct...
Well, I was going to say turn off DHCP and restart it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see here.
Maybe the
manual. I'm on Wi-Fi number two now, and, you know, we'll give it a shot. But just in case that doesn't work, what should I do?
Well, my thought was to restart DHCP.
Make sure your IP is set to DHCP,
right.
and release and renew the lease. I'm posting instructions on how to
good
reset your.
Yeah, that'd be great because I'd that one's.
What happens is...
Yeah, it still doesn't look like it's working, but I did, you know, I do have Wi-Fi too, which is cool.
Yeah. What happens is when you ask for an internet connection, DHCP, which is Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol, gets that, and it sets a lease, like 24 hours.
Okay.
And halfway through that, it re-asks for it. But if it gets screwed up, it won't re-ask, and you're stuck. We have to take a break. Are you done? Are we good?
No.
Well,
but he's going to put instructions online. I'll look at it there. That's
perfect.
Great.
We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Nick Francesco. 40 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Patrick from Batavia on the line. What's up, Patrick?
Well, first of all, let me say happy birthday to all the guys and the show. I'm a Jazz 90.1 member.
That's what we love to hear, and thank you.
And the third part you'll love to hear, you got the question I had last week about the weird-looking Windows 10 setup. It was in the tablet mode.
Right.
And all I had to do is restart, and what you said worked perfectly. So,
oh, good.
I am delighted. Now, here's something that came up. I was kind of concerned about my desktop machine, so I was running a Security Tango, and went through okay. And I got to the point where I ran malware bytes, and I think the second time, and I had a lot of threats that came through, so I went through and quarantined them. Then I ran again, and the same ones are still here. And just one more bit of information before you tell me how to solve my problem, or if it is a problem. They're all listed under Chrome User Owner Chrome Default Extensions. But on this computer, they show up, but they don't show up under my laptop, which also has Chrome. So I'm wondering, is this something really bad, or should I just go through that? I found them in the Explorer. I can see that they're all folders there. Should I just delete them all, or is it a real problem? Or should I delete Chrome, or, okay, now I'm turning to multiple choice, or fill in the blank.
If I were... Well, do you have exactly the same set of extensions on both machines?
I'm not sure about that. I can certainly, after I get off the phone, you know, because the one's downstairs.
Right. I would suggest that the issue you're having is in a or more than one extension that's on one machine but not on the other.
Hmm.
And we've seen sometimes the malware will lock themselves at the lock bit, so that the anti-malware program can't remove them off automatically, and you may have to remove it manually. But that was a pretty complicated path to make sure you get right.
Right. You can certainly try deleting it from the list of extensions.
Right, that's what I was just thinking to go through, because they're all, when I pulled up on Explorer, they're all folders. The other thing I guess I could do is pull up bring the other machine, bring them together, and compare and see if there still has these extensions.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
If they're on one and not on the other, then it might be something I don't want.
Right. There are websites you can go to that will auto-install extensions. You have to say yes at some point, but so many of us just do.
Yeah.
And so you wanna be careful of that. If you do find that there isn't anything unusual or different or whatever, then you might wanna whitelist some stuff. But that's an entirely separate step.
Now, what if I just uninstall the Chrome and then reinstall it?
That should work.
Okay.
Once you uninstall it, make sure that you have removed the add-in directory. I just check to see that all the directories are gone.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty much the only other thing you could do.
Okay, I always like the easy way, so maybe I'll just... I'll do the comparison first of all, then I'll decide what I wanted to get rid of. So, well, as always, or at least so far, you've been very helpful. And I wish you guys another 28 years or whoever your successors are. When you hit 100, I don't know, maybe you'll decide to do something different. But
exactly.
good work, good listening, as always. So,
thank you
take
so
care,
much.
Guys. Have a happy Labor Day weekend.
You too. Keep smiling.
Okay. Right. Bye-bye.
I'm going to continue to do this show until they have to wheel me out in the rocker like they do Dave. That's how that's going to work. Or at least Uncle Dave.
Hey, listen, right now, I say with the job that I got, those little kids,
yeah,
they keep me in shape.
Oh, they keep you young, too. Yeah,
oh,
yeah. There's no question
of
that.
You try toting an infant in a car seat. I have to take one from this one location, take it into this building and downstairs.
Does your wife know about this?
Oh, yeah. And, you know, that gives your arms a workout, though. These
yeah,
kids.
It does. Yeah, they do. Yeah.
I mean, you know, you don't realize it. It's like, yeah.
What was your joke? You know, your wife, one arm was longer than the other, and the other had more muscle mass on it. She was going to write a book on how to do one-armed house chores.
Well, right. Yeah. She always said that I need a cookbook. That you can do the recipes with while you're holding your kid. And I said, you need to write that. I said, the new mom's cookbook, 50 great recipes you can make with one hand.
Yep.
And if anybody does that, I want my cut.
Well, see, now it's the sling you carry them in and have both hands free.
Right. Really? All right. There we are.
Didn't make it.
Yep, I know. Well, we're happy to take your calls at 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 1-800-790-0415.
And things like that.
Well, they don't get on the air, and that's fine. Nobody hears them.
It may have. It did go out over Ustream, though. Sorry about that.
Oh, that's true. It did go out over the stream. We apologize to those on the stream.
I'll edit out of the podcast.
We don't have any way to tell whether or not someone is calling in is 6 years old or not. So
yeah.
It's hard for us to deal with that. So.
Yeah, and for the number of years...
But we have your call ID, and it will be reported.
Oh, right. Yes. No, I got his caller ID, so...
We'll report that, so it'll be good.
So he thinks he's so smart. That's one thing we do capture, so, you know.
Hey. Yeah. It's okay. Look, kids are kids.
Yeah.
You know, when you're 12, that's really what you have to do, so good for them.
And that's why I was right near the button.
Yep. All right, if you have an actual legitimate call, it's 585-966-5299, 1-800-790-0415. We got time. I'll talk about the iPhone 8 specs.
Yeah, go for it.
If Apple tradition holds, its next big smartphone, the so-called iPhone 8, will make its long-anticipated debut at an upcoming event likely to showcase both new products and refinements to existing gadgets. The keynote, set to occur on September 12th at the Steve Jobs Theater on Apple's new Spaceship Campus, is expected to be packed with announcements ranging from a new 10th anniversary edition iPhone to an updated Apple Watch, Apple TV, and more. Apple's next-gen smartphone's form and specs will undoubtedly be the headliner. It's expected to change in nearly every way, from its physical design to the size and quality of its screen and the sensors inside. Apple never discusses its future products ahead of unveilings, but historically, it's always outfitted new phones with updated processors. It's not going out on too much of a limb to say that the iPhone 8 will be powered by a next-gen chipset, probably dubbed Apple A11. If the company keeps to its current naming conventions, the iPhone 7s are powered by the Apple A10, so that's what we figure is happening. Apple is also widely rumored to be launching updated S versions of the iPhone 7 and 7 Plus, that will adopt this processor as well. The iPhone 8 and iPhone 7S Plus are both expected to include 3 gig of higher speed RAM, while the iPhone 7S that's not a Plus would have 2 gig of RAM. One iPhone 8 rumor that's persisted for months is that Apple will finally start using an OLED or organic light-emitting diode display rather than an LCD panel for its new smartphone. These types of displays, which are already common in phones made by Samsung and many others, generally offer noticeably better contrast and deeper blacks than LCD screens, producing much more vibrant imagery. This screen will be larger than that of the 5.5-inch iPhone 7 Plus, although nobody seems to know by exactly how much. The smart money says it'll be about a 5.8-inch panel, but some of the screen space will be used for virtual buttons. Multiple reports have surmised that the new iPhone will include a 3D sensor for facial recognition, which could allow users to unlock an iPhone simply by looking at it. Apple's not glaring so much as what your wife did to me earlier over there, but just looking. Apple's new iPhones.
You got the stare down, dude.
I did. Apple's new. I was chilled to the bone. She almost has my wife stare down, Pat. Apple's new iPhones will let you pick from three colors, including black, silver, and gold, which will likely have sexier names than what I just said. Apple has not fully redesigned its iPhone since it released the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus in 2014, but that's likely to change on September 12th. The company's 10th anniversary iPhone is expected to be radically different, with an edge-to-edge screen that includes a notch at the top for the selfie camera. Other physical changes could include rounded edges for the screen, as well as a glass back with stainless steel edges that somewhat resemble the much older iPhone 4 and 4S. What does the S stand for? Something? Something.
Second generation?
Oh, maybe. Apple is expected to make some changes to the way you charge an iPhone this fall. Most conspicuously, the addition of support for wireless charging, although that's a feature Android phones have long supported. I don't know that I ever want a phone that doesn't have wireless charging again. I mean, ever. It's worth noting that Apple joined the Wireless Power Consortium earlier this year, an organization that develops industry standards, which could be a signal that wireless charging is indeed in store for future iPhones. You will love it. Separately, KGI Securities analysts predict that all new iPhone models will come with support for USB-C power delivery through the Lightning connector, which should enable quicker charging when it's plugged in. One of the problems with wireless charging is it's a little slow. There's a lot more like augmented reality and more storage options, but this is only a two-hour show. So are you hot for the new iPhone? You can give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free, 1-800-790-0415.
Some of these rumors are coming from an accidental leak. There was a firmware update for the unreleased HomePod that's also supposed to get more information in the September event. And apparently the private firmware update accidentally got put on the public developer channel. And so a couple of really smart developers were digging through this firmware and found icons and feature references and software points showing that this is probably these new stuff that's coming out, including the icon for the phone itself with a notch at the top where the camera probably will go.
Which is already making people angry.
Right.
Okay.
So most of the websites are calling it a notch, but one website wants to call it the unibrow. thanks to Renee at iMore for that, the unibrow. But one of the things that we're seeing that you had mentioned with the OLED screens is all the other companies have pretty much taken up all the production of all the OLEDs they can. And so, you know, Apple will probably sell 100 million of these in the quarter. So they need a company that can produce 100 million more than they already are making for everybody else.
Right. That's hard.
Yeah. Foxconn did say they were building a plant in Wisconsin, was it?
Somewhere.
There were stories going around that Apple was building a manufacturing plant, but Apple doesn't have manufacturing plants. And so Foxconn said, yeah, we're going to make this, and it's going to be Samsung OLEDs.
Yeah.
Which go in everything else.
Right. So who knows? Right.
Yeah.
One of the things about OLEDs is, as I said in the thing, they're much brighter. They're much more vibrant looking. If you and I know people love their iPhones, but if you put an iPhone next to, say, a Samsung with OLED, it just does not look as good. And that's been an issue that Apple has faced for a while. As more and more OLED phones come out. Now, OLEDs are more expensive.
which is another codec innovation that they failed innovation. To capitalize on.
Right, right, right. Hopefully you'll find a much more vibrant, much more colorful OLED. The problem, of course, with OLEDs is that O. The O means it's organic, which means that at some point, and I mean after many years, the OLED screen starts to quite literally rot.
As the organic dies.
Organic stuff is gone.
Your screen is dead.
Exactly right. Your screen is dead, and we mean that in this case quite literally. All right, that's the first hour of this show is done. It's over. It's finished. It's kaput. It's join the choir invisible. We're going to be back for a whole nother hour of this nonsense again. We will not pine for the fjords. We will be back with a whole lot more of Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour. We are the longest running computer show in the known universe. That's Soundbites right here on the truly great and truly grateful to you that we are member supported Jazz 90.1. Stay tuned for Uncle Dave. We'll see you in a couple.
It's America's longest-running computer show. Back to more sound bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve. Next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
WGMC Greece, Rochester. A public service of the Greece Central School District. Jazz 90.1.
Online at jazz901.org.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 5 minutes after the hour, you are hurtling headlong into the second hour of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. And that's... Oh, you can play that now. That's right. That's... That's right. It is birthday month. September is the birthday month here at Soundbites. It's Dave's birthday this month. It's Steve's birthday this month. It's my birthday this month. And tomorrow is the show's birthday.
Yeah.
It will, as you can see from our website, today this show has been on the air 27 years, 11 months, and 29 days. And as of tomorrow, it's our 28th anniversary. Hurtling headlong into our 29th year of being on the air. It's very exciting, and as we have said more than once, that's all on you. We appreciate each and every one of you, and we are thrilled and delighted that you have stuck with us on this multi-decade journey throughout our history, and we're very appreciative.
28 years of stuff.
And all thanks to the folks at Soundbite. Thanks to us.
Yeah.
Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. We'll pat each other. We'll get a little circle going. Yeah. Never mind. All thanks to the folks at Jazz 90.1 and Rob Linton in particular for having the perspicacity to put us on the air and keep us here. We're very grateful. And of course, the real heroes in all this are those of you who've become members of the Soundbites family by joining as members of Jazz 90.1. It's you people who keep us on the air, and we are both honored and delighted to have you along for the journey.
And we've said that since day one that we came here. You know, I mean,
exactly
our,
right.
our listeners came, followed us right on over from our other stations and love and support us.
Yep.
And Rob knew that we were a good thing. And I'll still never forget that day that we met him to discuss this, because we walked in, the three of us, sat down with him, and before we even ordered lunch, he said, "All right, I got Saturdays from 12 to 2 open. When can you start?" And we said, "How about in 2 weeks?" Because it was June 5th.
Right.
Okay, well, let's order.
Yep, that pretty much was the entire discussion.
Yeah, that was it. And boom, here we are this many years later that, you know, it's... unbelievable. And be celebrating next year, starting up 30 years.
Yep. Well, 2 years from now. The Rob had started out as a mere puppy, although in many ways he's still a mere puppy. As our much as he hates this term, board op, at another station, and then he
was operating the board.
He was operating the board. He was
he was operating the whole darn station.
In fact, he was multiple
stations.
Right, as he preferred to call himself, our producer, he was very. Very nice to offer us that when he became the station manager here, he was very nice to offer us this time slot. And again, it's you folks who have come along for the journey, and we are both honored and delighted that you have done so. And every year I get a little maudlin on our birthday. So why don't we stop listening to me and talk to Gerd from Victor, New York. Hiya, Gerd. What's up?
Number one, the robocalls. I'm getting so sick and tired of them. What can be done about that?
Change your phone number.
Number two, I have a microsoft mouse wireless for my laptop that all of a sudden stopped moving the cursor whatsoever.
Okay. The second one I think is pretty easy. Change the battery.
I've done that.
And it's not, there's a switch on the bottom. Is it turned on?
You have to repair it maybe?
I'm sorry?
Yeah.
Well, start with, is it turned on? Because they can be turned off.
Okay. I'll check on that.
Most of them have a switch on the bottom.
Okay.
That turns it on and off. Generally, people turn them off when they're not using them to save that battery.
Right.
The other thing you might have to do is, because it will be a Bluetooth mouse, you may have to repair it.
Or connect it. On the bottom of mine, it says connect.
Right. That's the technical term is repairing it, because Bluetooth devices have to be paired with each other. But
and even if it's an RF mouse that has a little USB dongle, there'll often be a connect button or pair button on the mouse to connect it to that dongle. So basically, right. So that your mouse doesn't control the computer next to you, which is a really fun prank in a computer lab, is swap the mice around between computers.
Oh yes, oh yes. Even the ones that are wired, if they're you can like if they're across from each other,
yep.
You can swap the mice. It's amusing. Anyway, that one, that those are the things for that. As to the robocalls,
don't answer the phone and wait for the message. Because part of what the problem are, the robocallers are now spoofing the area code and local exchange.
Right.
So you think it's a local phone number. We've even had some of our office that are actual customers' numbers, because the bad guys will just randomly pick four numbers
in
exchange, and it could be a legitimate number, probably is a legitimate number as their call ID. And all that's illegal, but they don't care. They're already doing something illegal.
Right. So as far as robocalls go, are you getting them on a home phone or on a cell phone?
Home phone.
On the home phone, is it hi, how are you? Is it an IP phone or is it a regular Frontier phone?
What do you mean by IP phone?
Some phones, you know, you can get these phones that plug into your wireless connection.
No, this is a run-of-the-mill phone.
POTS.
Kind of wireless.
A cordless phone.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's coming through your local phone company.
Right.
Okay. Then in that case, there's very little you can do except complain to your local phone company. But robocalls are completely out of control. Many of them are coming from out of the country, and there's nothing legal that can be done about that because they're not under U.S. law.
It's amazing that when you look at the screen, it's like from Fairport, Farmington, yep. Victor.
Yeah.
Like, how can you stop that?
You can't.
You cannot.
Oh, okay.
There's simply nothing you can do about it. Now, as I've said many times, you can lie to them. Whenever I get a call from a number I don't know, Here's how I answer the phone. Thanks for calling Soundbite. You're on the air. What's your question?
No, I understand Harvey's that, pizza. But there are some that don't even respond. They just keep talking and talking and talking.
And then I just hang up.
Yeah,
and then
computer.
I block the number.
It's not a person.
One of the things that, and it depends on your phone companies to whether or not you have call blocking. People on their cell phones, once they've gotten the call,
can block it.
They can block that number. People who are using their home phones, you have to talk to your local phone company as to whether call blocking is available on your phone.
And the problem is that could block a legitimate call because the bad guys just pick random phone numbers to be calling from. There was an interesting the thing happened a couple months ago. The FCC found a robocaller in Florida that was making a million calls a day, fined him $120 million because that's all the FCC can do.
Yeah.
And so he just made another day's worth of calls and paid the fine.
And paid the fine, right. These people are making vast amounts of cash because it doesn't take all that many hits, right?
Yep.
Defining legitimate numbers.
And most of the time, the robocalls are fake anyway. This big one the FCC found was on timeshare advertising.
Right.
So and that may be the ones you're hearing, too. You recently stayed in one of our properties. So they're selling timeshares. Well, they're fake selling timeshares. They're going to take your money, and you get nothing because they don't actually own the timeshare to sell you in the first place.
Right.
And so the FCC gets them on that fraud and for spoofing phone numbers. But
If they get their hands on anybody.
Right. And this one they recently caught was a guy in Miami. And so they were able to fine him. Now, then they have to turn it over to the Justice Department to see if there's criminal charges they can apply.
Well, it's a good thing we got Trump in the office. Justice Department should do more than what it's been doing in the past.
Well, like I said, there are laws. The problem is so many of these people are overseas.
Yeah.
Or spoofing their number. And one of the things that we don't have is a good cybersecurity. Well, maybe now, but for the longest time.
That's the thing. Folks forget. This is called the World Wide Web.
Right.
And they can find more ways around it and spoofing things, just like putting up websites and that type of stuff to fake you out. And our government can't do jack about it because it's over in some other country. And we have no jurisdiction on that, you know, content. All they can do is say, oh, well, you should be a little more cautious. And we tell folks that constantly here. You know, if you get an email or a phone call from something else, say, all right, fine. They want this information. Let me have your number and I'll call you back. Because if it is truly an organization are wanting to speak to, say, like a bank or that type of stuff, you could look up the number and call them back.
Yeah.
Most of them will sit there, click, and they hang up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, they know they've been had.
It's annoying to get these phone calls, and you can't really respond to them.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, you can't.
We've just taken this, we stopped answering the phone. And if it's someone we know, a legitimate call coming in, they'll leave a message and we'll call them back.
Yeah, for the one phone I have in the house, for the shop, I let it go right to the answering machine 99% of the time. That's the safest way.
Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. And by the way, I am a member. I've been forever. And keep up the good work and happy birthday to everybody.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. Thanks. You know, these online sales things remind me of Sergeant Preston. Of the Yukon.
Okay, Joel, hold on.
Or Challenge of the Yukon, as it was in the radio. They sold for, you know, 10 cents and box tops or whatever it was. They sold you land in the Yukon.
Yeah.
During the radio show. It was 1 square inch.
Nice.
Of the Yukon. And they sold that same 1 square inch to everybody. Now, it was just a gimmick. Nobody expected to ever go live on their 1 square inch. It was for kids. It was a kids' television show. Starring Richard Simmons, the other Richard Simmons. Not the same. And Yukon King, what a great dog.
Oh, yeah.
But the basic idea was that these guys sold kids gave kids a certificate. It was 10 cents in a box top, right?
Yeah.
You got one square inch of the Yukon. You felt like you were part of the show. It was great. Unfortunately, there are these things called laws that don't let you sell the same land to multiple people. So Quaker Oats and the Klondike Big Inch Land Company got into a little bit of trouble. But, you know, it was a very cute gimmick at the time. Now, of course, they're doing it with real estate, so it's a whole a whole other thing.
Quaker Oaks actually had bought 19 acres of land, so they could have done the whole thing legally.
Right, right, right. But they
paid $1,000 for 19 acres.
Wow. It's the 50s. It was the 50s. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Joel from Pittsford, New York. Hiya, Joel. What's up?
Hi, guys. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
We're doing it collectively.
Thank you. Thank you.
My problem relates to medical and computers. the problem occurred coincident with my returning from the hospital last Saturday after having a total hip replacement. And the computer part is my wife's computer has been periodically freezing hard to the point where the only thing that I can do is force a restart.
Uh-huh.
Where the hip comes in is that normally I would pull the computer out from under her desk, pardon me, and check out the fans on the possibility that that's heat related. But since I can't do that right now, what I've done is taken a small fan and just put it next to the computer and have it blowing a good stream of air into the computer. My question for you is, is there other troubleshooting I can do to check things out without having to get down underneath the computer for a while? Are there things in the logs I can look for?
What version of Windows are you running?
It's Windows 10. It's on a pretty hot PC. It's i7, 3 gigahertz PC, so it's pretty good, solid PC.
All right. One of the things you can do is take a look at your fan control.
Okay.
In Windows 10, there's a program you can download called SpeedFan. I'm trying to see if there's a program actually already built into Windows 10.
Yeah, a lot of gamers like to turn the fan up to keep it cooler so they can overclock it. And then some people like to turn the fan down so it's not as loud.
Right.
But you turn it down, then it overheats.
The best thing for you to do at this point, go to the support page for the people who built your machine. Like if it's a Dell, you can go to support.dell.com or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's a custom build.
Okay, then call the people who built it and ask them if, in fact, or I suppose it is absolutely free. So you can just download and try it. If it doesn't work, all you have to do is delete it. You're done.
All right.
If that doesn't work, then check your BIOS to see if there are ways to control the fan inside the BIOS itself. It was custom built, but are they using an ASUS motherboard? There's a program for that called QFan Control. Is it a Gigabyte motherboard? There's one called SmartFan. Right. So call the people who made it and see if they, in fact, have a fan program that will let you set. Well, two things. One, it'll let you see what the fans are doing, right? So then you'll know if they're running or not. Two is you can up them if they're not running at as fast as you want them to. The third thing, of course, is keeping it under a desk or in a corner or whatever is not a good idea for any computer ever, because you want to have airflow around it so those fans can actually work.
The vent sides are open to the air.
Well, that's good, but where are the fans blowing? if the fan is blowing against the back wall and it's an inch away from the back of your computer, mm-hmm. then that hot air is just blowing right back into the computer again.
Good point.
Right. So that's true for everybody listening. You really want to make sure that your fan is pointing into the air. I actually bought one of those racks, you know, those you build it kind of racks, and put my computer on that. Now it's open everywhere, including on the bottom, because it's just a wire rack. And that makes it much cooler than it used to be.
I was like, one of the test machines Dave had in his shop was just the motherboard sitting there on the desk, and he would plug stuff in and out of it.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I still have both of them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I still have both of them. They work great.
Who needs a case?
Yeah, I don't need no stinking case.
I don't need no.
So anyway, here's the deal. You can very easily add one of these types of programs. In your case, you cannot very easily move the computer at this point because of where you are. But I would try those things. That makes sense?
Okay, thanks a lot, guys.
Good luck. Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple minutes, Dave Enreich, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you, 24 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported Jazz 90.1.
Computer talk you can understand. More Soundbites is next on member supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 29 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites, and we have Mark from Greece on the line. What's up, Mark?
Niagara Falls.
Slowly I turned, step by step, inch by inch. Go ahead, what's up?
I just wanted to say, I got a couple things, if you don't mind. One is the gentleman that called about the robocalls.
Yeah.
I've had two cordless phone sets that have it on the phone where you can store up to 50 numbers to reject.
Oh, yeah, nice.
His phone, if he's got a cordless phone, might have that feature too. I know I've got already about half of it full.
Yeah, I bet.
So I may be turning towards the cable company to find out if I can do it on their end or not. I don't know. Well, we'll see. But it just rings once and hangs up, you know. So you don't get more than one ring, so you know it was a rejected call.
Right,
so
right.
He might want to look on his phone for that. See if it's there.
Thanks.
Quite handy.
Perfect. Thanks.
Second of all, I called a few weeks ago about the computer not working properly and it wouldn't reboot. It would freeze on reboot.
Okay.
I decided maybe I'll fix it, but for now I went to a local vendor and I'm in the process of getting a new computer.
Nice.
But I decided I'm not going to the big box store.
Okay.
I hit my head against the wall and I said, you know, you knucklehead, your wife and you know, myself have owned a local business for many years. Why are you going to the big box store?
Yep.
Why? So I went in, if you don't mind if I say where I went.
We generally don't. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I won't say. I went there and a very nice gentleman. I talked to the owner and, you know, they're going to build a system for me, and it's going to come with a 3-year parts warranty.
Nice.
You know?
Very
and
nice.
And I'm going, I would never get that from the big box store.
Right.
You know, so if something happens, boom, bring the car, bring it right there, and take care of it. And it comes with 1-year free virus removal.
You can't argue with any of that. Here's the thing, and we've said this a million times, spend your money locally.
Mm-hmm.
First, you're going to get, in general, most of the stores that are left are very high quality. So you're going to get much better service and support than you will in a big box store. Not that there's anything wrong with big box stores. Those of us who do our own support and stuff like that often buy, you know, from a big box store. I get it. But
right.
If you want support and et cetera, then you really want to get a local vendor. First, it gives you a face you can look at in case you have a problem. And secondly, it gives you a person that you can come to rely on. And third, you're keeping your money in our community, which is always, always a good thing.
And yeah. A lot of times the guy you're talking to is the owner of the store.
Yeah.
Yep, and, that's what it was in my case.
Yep. Yep.
You know, and he's really a nice guy, really took a lot of time with me. And, you know, I think after that 1 year, I think they have a service where you can buy, you know, like that virus removal where you can pay a fee for a year. And if you get something, you bring it in, they take care of it. So yep. I'm thinking that maybe that's what I'm going to do after that first year free.
Sounds like a plan.
I'm going to support them that way because, you know what? It's just better than having to troubleshoot it myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Right.
You know?
Right.
Your time and that is worth money, too.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, I figure it's just like buying a warranty on a TV. You know, if I get a five-year warranty and I don't use it, it's like car insurance. I pay for that every year, but I don't use it. But I have it in case I do.
Mm-hmm. Right, yeah. Exactly.
You know? And that's what I try and tell people, you know, so what if you don't use it? Well, you use your car every day and you have to pay car insurance for that, but it's there when you need it.
Yep, it's exactly right.
And as long as it's not outrageously expensive, it's worth it.
Yep.
Right now, they're going to warranty out my TV I've only had for 2 years because it's a panel issue.
Right, right.
I got to
get
a new TV, but they're going to give me what I paid for it. So, you know.
That's exactly right.
It's
and
worth,
we tell people that all the time. We mm-hmm. tell people, you know, you have a lot of other stuff that you have insurance or warranties or whatever for. Why not your computer? You know, people, here's what breaks my heart. When somebody calls up and says, I have a problem with my computer, that's a problem. When somebody calls up and says, I have a problem with my computer and it is my work thing and my business needs it.
And it's been doing it for 6 months.
And it's been doing it for 6 months. But my first question is, why don't you have a warranty on that?
Right.
What is wrong with you? If it's your business computer and you can't live without it, get a warranty.
And maybe a spare computer for when that one will go down, because they always do.
You know, what is your business worth to you is the real question here. When somebody says, well, I bought a cheap computer and I don't have a warranty. Well, and your business isn't worth much, and I don't know what else to tell you.
Exactly.
You know?
Well, like Steve said, you know, eventually, it's a computer. It's going to break down.
Yep.
You know, that's why I'm still thinking on fixing the one that I have and, you know, booting it up every couple of weeks after it's fixed and keeping it up to date, but having it there. So if something does happen and I have to bring this computer into the shop, he can have it for as long as he needs it. I don't have to go, oh, geez, I got to have it in 4 days. Well, 4 days isn't feasible.
Right.
You know? So you have a backup computer.
That's exactly right. As long as everything's backed up on it, you're good.
Right. Oh, yeah. I have redundancies. You know, I have one of those hard drives that are built into a firebox.
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
So you just plug the firebox in. There's a USB on the side of it, and you plug it in to the computer, and you do your backup. And I do that backup every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I have and I can't remember the name of it, of course, right at this exact moment. This is ridiculous. I did a review of it, it was fireproof and waterproof and shock resistant.
Locally, SentrySafe makes some, and there's SentrySafe makes
right,
a few of them locally.
Right.
IOSafe is another big one.
IOSafe.
Yeah,
and I could stand on it. I could stand on it.
I like that one of the demos they had was they built a giant, fire, poured kerosene on it with the drive in the middle of it, and then when it was done, the box was a charred mess. They opened it up and pulled the hard drive out, plugged it in, it worked fine.
Yep, that's exactly right.
So that's what I've got that I do my every 2 week backup on. Then I've got two backups that are sitting on the computer itself.
Perfect.
And then I've got one at my brother's house that I update every couple months. So I have something.
Right.
You know, and it's not here.
Perfect.
So that's the other issue. But yeah, the local vendor was great, so I highly recommend that, especially when they offer 2 or 3 years part warranty included in the price.
Right.
And I definitely didn't overpay. I'm getting an i3 dual-core 3.9 gigahertz, 8 gigabytes of RAM that's expandable to 16. It's got two hard drives. It's got an SSD 256 gig to boot from. And then a 1 terabyte mechanical drive.
Nice.
Perfect.
You know, I opted for onboard graphics because I really don't game.
Right, right, right. Why spend the money if you're not going
to
game?
Why spend the money? And I'm giving them a few extra bucks to give me a USB wireless adapter to plug in the back.
Nice. Sounds like sounds like a great machine, Mark.
Yep. And the third thing I wanted to tell people, if you have an extra USB available on your computer and you have a computer that's in a underneath a desk, like, and it needs airflow, they make USB box fans that you can put by the computer to keep the air flowing.
That's not a bad idea.
Around the computer, and it will turn on and off with that computer because it's USB.
Right, right. That's an excellent point. Thanks, Mark.
So you can find those Tiger Direct, Amazon. So
yeah,
just wanted to throw that out
Amazon.
There to you. Also.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Thanks for your time, gentlemen.
We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, one of our local companies, Sentry Safe, is among the many vendors that offer waterproof and fireproof safes.
Yeah, I don't think they're in business anymore.
Well, they certainly have a website.
On their website.
Yeah, but they're not here locally anymore.
Oh, well, then the heck with them. I mean, that's I understand. I understand.
One of the things to keep in mind when you're looking at a fire safe, most fire safes are designed for papers.
Right.
And so, as many of you may know, paper combusts at Fahrenheit 451. But if you put a hard drive into a fire safe, it will melt at a much lower temperature than that. So you need to make sure you get a data-ready fire safe.
Right.
And it also needs to be waterproof or water-resistant because when the fire department puts out the fire, it's going to be underwater for a while. So you want to make sure you look at a waterproof, fireproof, data-ready fire safe.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, a special guest, and you. It's Soundbites on the truly great and solely member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we have a special guest. Yes, we do. You know what that sound means. It's time to get your footy jammies on, grab a mug of hot cocoa, and sit in a semicircle, Indian style, on the floor around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for Story Hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave! Uncle Dave! Don't stop me, I'm having fun. Uncle Dave!
I know you are. Ow, that hurt.
Time for your story hour, Uncle Dave. Wake up.
Oh, yeah. All right. What? We've been doing this show now 28 years.
28 years.
And, you know, some people still cease to amaze me.
Yeah.
Because you know what? You can sit there, and I know Steve will appreciate this too. You can sit there and do the darn work. The machines come in broken. And you go ahead and you put time and effort in to trying to recreate it.
Sure.
And I have told folks for over a decade, save your data. Photos, data, documents, and everything else are important. You can't, you know, it's hard to recreate those. But when you get somebody and they don't think it's quite right because they wanted you to pull off a program off this old computer so they could put it on a new one and trying to explain to them, you can't pull a program off a computer. When you install a program, it puts, it's like little tentacle of veins in your whole system. It puts bits and pieces all over the place. It is totally impossible. And you tell
the
person that.
Installer.
And you try to get the drive going and everything else. And, sorry, but, you know, I can only do so much. And then I'm told, well, I'll get it back and I'll do it. It's simple. Okay, fine. So I wait a little while. Then we call the individual back.
Yeah.
And he doesn't know if it's worth paying that much. He'll consider whether he's going to pay or not. It's like, wait a minute, folks. You know, put yourself in my case. If you spent all that time and everything else,
And you probably didn't charge them all the time you should have.
Exactly. It's just a diagnostic fee.
Right.
Hello, if I charge you what I actually put into it, you would really be upset. Because I put in quite a bit of time and effort. And this just gets me. Well, I don't know if it's worth that much. Wait a minute. Again, if the tables were reversed and you did all that work for me, you'd want to get paid. And you would be irate.
Go to your local service garage and say, well, I don't want to pay for that engine rebuild.
Right.
See what happens.
And you tell them the price up front, and then they still complain when they come in.
Yeah, I mean, I even have a sign up there for diagnosis. Yeah, I saw that.
I didn't believe it. Well, it doesn't apply to me.
You're right, I'm special.
Apparently you are.
I just don't get some folks. You know, for as long as I've been doing this business, and that's quite a few years, and we've been doing this show, that, you know, people still, you know, don't get it.
People ask me why I'm a cynic. My simple response, I did retail.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean,
everyone should work in food service and retail.
And I've done both,
And then, you know, you wouldn't skimp on the tips. You wouldn't complain to clerks. You know?
That's exactly right.
My wife was very irate because she, you know, called the gentleman that, and she was going back and forth with him. And he was giving her nothing but grief. But then I called, you know, left a message. And, you know, it is what it is.
Yep.
You know, you want to be an idiot, fine. You know, but it still does, you know, because like I say, I do this part-time now.
Right.
You know, I'm only doing it, not like I used to when I was doing full-time and that. And I do it because it keeps me, my fingers in it for this show.
Right.
You got to stay on top of it because things are constantly changing.
That's exactly right.
You know, and I mean, if we sit down, the three of us, and compare from what when we first went on the air and the computers and the big boxes that we had then, compared down to now, I mean, we've got watches that probably have more power than most of those 286s and the original IBM PCs that were, you know, touting.
Your watch has more power than what took us to the moon.
Yeah.
Well, to Stanley Kubrick's studio.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just, you know, amazing. But I'll still keep doing what I do. You know, it is what it is. And I had to rant. Because it just ticks me off that people can be that arrogant. And they bring it and they tell you that it's broken.
Right.
And you try to do it, and because you can't do what they didn't take time and care to do up front, like we tell folks constantly, back up stuff.
Right.
Oh, I meant to. Steve and I hear that all the time.
Yep.
Well, I meant to do that. Well, I meant to get your data back. I'm sorry. When it's gone, it's gone.
That's right.
There's not much you can do about it.
That's right. There's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
For some people, and I get that. All right. Are we done?
Yeah. I'm going to go in the corner and go back to sleep.
All right. And we're going to go back to the phones. Our next caller is Mike, who's patiently waiting in Rochester, New York. What's up, Mike?
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you taking the call. Good afternoon, Nick, Dave, and Steve.
Yeah.
I have made what I had hoped to be the glorious switch from Time Warner Spectrum to Greenlight.
Oh,
And I was using my own equipment. So I was getting decent speeds and decent range with my modem and the router that I had purchased on my own. Well, we were playing conspiracy theory and thinking they were throttling us for a while because we were grandfathered in under an old contract. And on our street, we were able to finally make the switch to Greenlight.
Congratulations.
And I've had it for 3 days, and it's been up and down. I'm using the same exact router. They provided a new modem for it. I'm not getting, if I'm in the room with the router, I'm getting those stellar speeds. But once I'm out of the range of the room that it's in, or I'm out on the front porch in the garage where I used to get coverage and I listen to the radio while working on something in the garage or something like that,
right.
It's just not meeting my hopes and dreams. Can you point me maybe in the right direction, maybe some resources of why this could be happening or some things I may need to do on my end?
Well, are you okay? Couple of things. If you're using that router, you're probably wireless. Right? So you're out in the garage, you're wireless.
Yes, correct.
Wireless is never going to be as fast as wired. And so your maximum speed, generally speaking, what with one thing and another, is going to average out about 27 megabits per second.
Uh-huh.
Generally speaking. Now, in certain areas, you'll get more. In certain areas, you'll get less. But it depends on, of course, it also depends on what router you have and, you know, the bandwidth of your machine, but A, B, et cetera. You're gonna top out at about 27 megabits. Now, that also now has a separate issue, which is, did you fully reset your wireless router when you connected it to Greenlight?
The only thing I did was just turn it off, the old turn it back off, turn it back on with the reset button on the back.
All right, but okay. So one thing I want you to do is go into that router. You know, they all have a web interface. Go into that router and see if there's some stuff in there that you're not using anymore, like DNS.
DNS might still be set to Time Warner.
That's exactly right. If your DNS is set to the wrong thing, or you've got a route in there, that's sort of fair. What'll happen is it'll slow down significantly because it's going to keep going to the old place, not be able to get there, then go to the new place. Over and over and over and over and over.
Yeah, you don't realize.
Okay, well, that's my second problem that I wasn't going to discuss. I've been it's been a few months now where the thing is just locked up on me, where I can't get in for administrative rights, but it's still doing its job. So there may be some updates and other stuff that I need to get in there to do as well.
Now, how old is the router?
The router is only 2 years old. It's a decent. It's a TP-Link. It's a AC1750. It's got the dual band. It's a decent router.
Yeah, it may need firmware updates.
It may need firmware updates and everything else. If you cannot get into it with the admin password, that's an issue.
Yeah.
What I would do is break out the old manual and see how to completely reset it to bare metal.
Okay.
Then you'll have the default password, which you'll immediately change.
Yes.
And then see what happens. I actually had that issue a while ago. I moved some of my domains somewhere else, and for days they kept pointing to the old domain, which was now, of course, gone. And it took me days, because I'm an idiot, to realize that it was a routing table in my router, not out in the real world.
Yeah.
So once I reset my router, everything was perfect again. So that may also be an issue of yours. If you have caching tables, if your router caches router tables, that was clumsy, you may be having that same issue. So a full reset, right back to bare metal, and only your manual will be able to tell you how to do that. A full reset back to bare metal and build it up again is the thing you need to do.
Okay, I was suspicious this was a problem, so thanks for helping me narrow it down to which problem to tackle first, guys.
There you go.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Well,
bye-bye.
Thank you. That music tells me that the anniversary edition, the birthday edition of Soundbites is done for this week. We want to thank everybody who called in. We apologize to those to whom we did not get. Please call in earlier next week. It piles up at the end, and that's a problem. Don't go away. George is coming in to play the best German music you'll hear all week. Michael is here to keep him on the straight and narrow. And we will be back with a whole lot more of this show next week. So thank you all for 28 years of listening. And here's to 28 more. Thanks to all of you. For Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. This is the longest running computer show in the known universe. It's Soundbites and the truly great and solely member supported Jazz 90.1. We will see you in 166 hours.